Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning. You can be seated. Welcome. So glad you're here. Those of you online, so glad you're joining with us. A couple of things before we get started. The first of which is that our prayer meeting is coming up this Tuesday. It'll begin at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And actually, Pastor Mac is going to be leading the prayer meeting this week. So really hope you're able to come and join with us and pray with us. Also, I want to provide you with an update on our ongoing relief efforts for our Maui Ohana. I need to start by answering a question. This is particularly for maybe more so even the online members. We're being asked a lot about having a or setting up a Maui relief fund. Can I just talk for a moment about that? We don't have one because we don't need one. And we don't need one because we never ask for money. And the reason we haven't asked for money, nor would we ever ask for money, is because we don't need to ask for money. And the reason we don't need to ask for money is because people just give cheerfully and generously. For those of you online, we do not even receive an offering here. We have a couple of boxes in the back. I know churches do that. Nothing wrong with that. When I started the church, it was a decision I made. I just did not want to receive an offering. In my own personal finances, I've always just trusted that the Lord was going to provide. And guess what happened? The Lord provided. Never lacked for a thing. In want of no thing, He always provides exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you could ever think or imagine. So that's why we don't have a fund, nor would we set one up. We don't ask for money. God puts it on the hearts of people to give. And for those people who have gave, we are ever so grateful. Many have given very generously. We want you to know that all of the monies will get to Maui and all of it will be used to help the people of Maui. And sadly, there are people who are still in desperate need. Now, here's how we're doing it. First and foremost, cash or cards are given to people to make purchases replacing basic items that were lost. Also, the money is on hand and at the ready to pay for temporary housing, which right now are hotel rooms, but we're trying to meet the immediate needs, and one of those immediate needs is for the replacing of a vehicle. I know this will really bless you as it did bless me. So there was this guy, brother, new believer, loves the Lord, Steve Santos, pastor there at Calvary Chapel Westside in Lahaina, was sharing with me, was stuck in traffic in Lahaina in his truck. And he knew that the only way he was going to survive and escape was to get out of his truck, get into the water, and swim. And he did. And he barely escaped, or he would have died in that fire. But he lost his truck. So guess what we're doing? Because remember now, your pastor is a former car guy. Hey, I'm going to give you the benefit of what I did for first service and qualify it just so you don't look at me the way that you're looking at me right now. I was a wholesaler. I would provide inventory for the dealers. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. I would go to auctions and I would buy cars and replenish and restock the pre-owned inventory of the dealers that I was buying for. Does that make it better? Yeah. Not much, it looks like. So why do I share that? Because we have a long-term plan in place as well. The immediate short-term plan is to pay for hotel rooms, replace cars, trucks. This guy, we're getting him new tools and a new truck. He lost everything. Yeah. So that's the short term, but we also have a long-term plan. And I spent quite a bit of time on the phone this last week with some amazing people that I was just so privileged to get in contact with. I need to preface this, though, with four words that need to be underscored, bold, italics, highlighted. I think Thursday night we did yellow, and then you can put an emoji, whatever emoji you want on this. If we're still here, underline, bold, italics, yellow, emoji. If we're still here, okay? We have a long-term plan that we're working on. It's a little bit more logistically complicated, but what we're wanting to do is this. You know those rental cars that tourists rent? You know what they do with those? They send them to the mainland to sell them at auctions for the highest possible price. I happen to be in Spokane, Washington, which was home to one of the highest paying auctions on the mainland, and I bought your cars. Well, not your cars, but the rental cars. In fact, we had a term for them. We called them the Pineapple Express cars. I mean that affectionately. And because my wife is from here, born and raised Kailua girl, and we would always come here, whenever the Hawaii cars came, I always knew ahead of time. So I tried to buy them, of course. But the first thing was, I look at the Hawaii license plate. Then I got in the car. That was the closest I was going to get. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to buy it. So I bought those rental cars. Well, we don't want that to happen this time. These rental cars are sitting there on the island of Maui collecting dust, and the batteries are dying. So we've got a plan in place. We're working on it to buy them before they ship them to the mainland and give them to people in Jesus' name. That's how people come to Jesus. And by the way, we're doing all of this through the church, Calvary Chapel West Side, Pastor Steve Santos, who, by the way, I'm trying to get to come over here on a Thursday night. I'll let you know. Please pray, because one of the sisters in his church had 70% of her body burned. She's at Straub Hospital. Pray for her. I don't remember her name off the top of my head. I don't remember my own name off the top of my head. But so he's come over already. He's going to come over and visit her. And I said, Steve, come over and make it over a Thursday night so I can have you come up and share and then give us kind of an update. So Steve has been a good friend of mine. He's the pastor, of course, of Calvary Chapel West Side there in Lahaina. We're working directly with Steve. In fact, we had a couple here that I don't know if they were able to stay. Such a powerful testimony. They're from Lahaina. They were here on Oahu a number of years ago. I prayed with them. Their little baby Ezra had to have a special surgery at the Kapi'olani. So we took care of them. We flew them back to Maui. Anyway, they lost everything in Lahaina. They're staying in a hotel room. I got to see them today. They just flew over real quick. And we're working with Steve, Pastor Steve Santos, and Calvary Chapel West Side. Now, please hear me on this. This is very important. We do not in any way wish to promote the name of Calvary Chapel. Our sole goal is to glorify and exalt the name of Jesus. Yes. I shared this on Thursday and first service. I'll share it with you as well. Please just bear with me. The Holy Spirit was not sent or given to promote the name of a denomination or a church or a pastor. Amen. So anytime we exalt the name of our church or our pastor, that's me, over and above the name of Jesus, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He says, you know, I'm so sorry. That's not why I'm here. I can't help you. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. We even quench the Holy Spirit. I'm only here to exalt the name of Jesus. So I want to be very careful when I share things like this. Yes, Calvary Chapel Kaneohe gets to play a small part, and it is a privilege to do so in all of this. The blessing's ours. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so too is Calvary Chapel Westside, whom we are joining hands with because they have no place to meet. So we're also implementing a long-term plan if we're still here. Underline, bold, italics, highlight, emoji. To help with the location and purchase of a facility and or warehouse close in proximity to Lahaina, because then Calvary Chapel Westside would have a place to provide for people once all the relief agencies are long gone. Because that's what's going to happen. It won't be long before the relief agencies are long gone, but we're going to be there. Pastor Steve is committed to Lahaina. He says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here with the people. In fact, even inviting him to come and try to plan it over a Thursday night when he visits this sister at Straub, he said, "Your midweek's Thursday?" I said, "Yeah." "Mine's Wednesday." I said, "Yeah." He's like, I can't miss. I got to be back." I said, "No problem. I have to be here for my people." Oh, I love this pastor's heart. I said, "This is okay. It's Thursday. Just Thursday, not Wednesday. Thursday." In fact, that's why we did it, just for you, Steve. Our midweek is on Thursday. I said, "I'll get you back by Sunday. You sure?" "Yeah." "Thursday." "Fine." Okay. So anyway, this is, we believe the Lord's hand is on this, both the property acquisition and the vehicle acquisition, especially the vehicle acquisition. I had the privilege of talking with a guy. I mean, this guy got so excited. In fact, he was more excited than me. "Yeah, way. Yeah, I know. No way. I know. Way. I know." That got me more excited, if you can imagine. So anyway, then I got asthma, and then we had to end the conversation. Okay, real quick, lastly, if they'll put the picture up, I want to share with you an update from Brother Mike Lau. This is in addition to all of the other stuff, if we're still here. We've got these containers, right? So as of now, the total is up to 20, which is up from 16 that have already been offloaded. This is the Lord, because they found a way. I cannot tell you what they're doing, but they found... But as only the Lord can, this is wisdom from above. They figured out a way to get these containers rerouted and offloaded at an undisclosed location into box trucks so that they wouldn't be confiscated as the containers prior had been. And they're sitting there. So these guys said, "All right, Lord, what do we do?" And the Lord gave them this brilliant idea. I can't tell you. This brilliant idea. We will get to our study, okay, about two-ish. We're almost there. You know how it is when the Lord does something that is so unmistakably Him? Like, you know that you just know that you know that that was the Lord, because you could have never come up with that. I mean, this whole car thing, we want to buy these rental cars. It's going, "You think we're going to do that?" The Lord's going, "You think you're going to do that? No, you're doing it, Lord." You better believe I'm the one that's going to do it. The Lord's doing this. All of these containers are under the radar. and they're being offloaded into these trucks that they're renting, and these supplies are going then directly to, by way of these trucks, transported to these undisclosed location facilities like churches and hotels and community centers, and they're getting right into the hands of the people. I want to draw your attention. You might put the picture back up for our online people. That's a pillow, right? Do you take your pillow for granted? I don't after I was sent this picture. I'm like, it's not my pillow. It's a Jesus pillow. I just like, I love you, Jesus pillow. I just, things we take for granted. Pillows. Of course, stacks of toilet paper. No, we'll leave that one right there. Diapers. Wipes. Basics. And we're getting him into the hands of the people. I shouldn't say that way. The Lord is getting them into the hands of the people, and we get to play a part in it, and we praise the Lord for it. Okay. More to follow. 1 John chapter 4. Today's text, verses 7 through 12. I'll ask you to stand if you're able. You can follow along as I read. If not, where you're seated is fine. The Apostle John is continuing now, and very interesting portion of scripture before us. I probably say that every week, but this is even more interesting. He begins verse 7 writing, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This," verse 9, "is how God showed his love among us. He sent us his only begotten Son, one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love," verse 10, "not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Some of your translations render it as propitiation, which we'll talk about. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Let's pray, if you would, please join with me. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you for just the amazing miracles that are taking place on Maui, and that we even get to be a part of it is just too high for our understanding, that you would choose and use people like us, the foolish things of this world, to confound the wise, the weak, to shame the strong. That way only you get the glory, and only you are worthy of all of the glory. All the glory due your holy name, Jesus. So thank you for that. Lord, we have a very powerful and poignant portion of scripture before us today that requires the Holy Spirit help us and open the eyes of our understanding, or else we're going to leave here today missing what it is that you want us to see here today and hear and take heed to. And I don't think any of us want that. And that's why we're here, Lord. We want to hear you speak in that still, small, refining voice of the Holy Spirit. And not only hear, but heed. Take heed to your word, that we're not merely hearers, but doers of your word, Lord. Especially when it comes to loving one another. Oh, Lord, please, will you minister to us in and through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you very much. So what I'm hoping to accomplish with today's teaching is answer from our text this question. Do you want to be more loving? Like somebody's going to say no, right? I realize the question could rightly be seen as rhetorical, but the Apostle John is going to rise from the text nonetheless and answer this all-important question of, do you want to be more loving? And if so, then here's how. How I can be more loving. How can I be more loving? First, by knowing the source of this love. Second, by the showing of this love. And third, by the seeing of this love. Because just because something has been shown does not necessarily mean that that something has been seen. Let me try that again because that didn't work very well, it sounds like. I can be shown something, but that doesn't necessarily mean or necessarily is it synonymous with me seeing it. I mean, it's been shown to me, but do I see it? So that's what we're going to talk about today. You ready? Okay, that wasn't very convincing. Thank you. People say they fall asleep listening to me. I'm like, how do you do that? Because I yell a lot. He said, well, then you wake us up and then we turn you off. I said, oh, okay. Wow, that's amazing. Well, let's start with verses 7 and 8. Let's talk about the source of this love. And this is where it has to start, right? Now, what's interesting about verse 7 in particular is the way that John writes what John writes. It's better understood this way. Let us love one another as those who are loved with a love that comes from God. That's the source. Now, I know I've shared this before. I hope you don't tire of me sharing it. I try to space them out as long as I can, all of my illustrations. But, you know, sometimes we just have visitors or a lot of new people that haven't heard it. So, it's for them. Early on in our marriage, being the godly husband that I am, I was just such a godly spiritual leader in my home. I say to my wife of 35 years this year, she's got treasures in heaven, that woman, I tell you. This is early on. I'm talking the first 5 years of marriage. I'm so full of myself. Anyway, I better stop right there and repent. But I thought, you know what? I'm gonna tell her. You know, and I thought it was so deeply profound and so loving and godly. And I said to her this, honey, I love you with a love that can only come from God. I even put some reverb in there. I was fully expecting a Velcro hug, tears. Oh, honey. Oh, I love you such a... Now, I was met with that look. Husbands, you know what I'm talking about? When your wife looks at you with that look that only a wife can give, and she's looking at me like, wait. You mean you can? I'm so unlovable that the only way you can muster up any love for me is if God gives you love for me. So the only love you have for me is the love that you had to get from God in order to love me. And about this time, I'm the one crying. How did you do that? How do you, wives, how do you do that? Where do you get that? Do you wonder why we look at you like a dog? That's why. This was not in my notes. You probably figured that out. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Christian, a brother in the Lord, comedian, Tim Hawkins. Oh, this guy's funny. Oh, this guy's funny. He shares about how husbands need a GPS, you know, to give us directions as husbands. So we know what to say, what to do, where to go. Oh, come on. Wouldn't that be cool? The way he does it, of course, is way better, but I'll do my best. We need a GPS. So, you know how the GPS, of course, they butcher all of the names of the Hawaiian streets. It's painful, isn't it? It's kind of like, I know how to get there, but I just want to make sure. But then you hear them pronounce the names, you're like, just forget it, I'll figure it out. Anyway, so back to my comedic segment. So he says, you know, husbands, we need a GPS. How cool would that be, right? So the GPS would be, you know, telling us, you know, say something about her hair. No, this is so good. So, you know, here we are, the husband, right? Because we don't get it. Just wives, we don't get it. We actually don't get it. So here's the GPS. Say something about her hair. So, wait, Tim does it so good. You'll forgive me, but I'll do my best. So here's the guy with the GPS that just said, you know, got the instructions, you know, say something about her hair. Hey, what's up with the hair? You still don't get it. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Here I am, innocently, wanting to communicate to my wife how much I love her, and I love her with a love from God. And she totally turns it around. As you can tell, I need to still work through it. This was many years ago. But what I shared with her was true. Maybe I could have said it differently. I know sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say what we say. Maybe I could have said it differently. But truth be made known, that is the source. The source of this love, this agape love, comes from God. And if I'm going to have any hope of ever loving one another with this love that comes from God, being born of God, knowing God, hang on to that word knowing for a second, it's going to have to come from God. That's the source. And it's an endless supply where you love others with the love that God has given you for them. When God gives you a heart for someone and you see them as he sees them and he gives you a love for them, that love, the source of that love, agape love, comes from God. Hang on to know a little bit longer. I want to just real quickly mention there are four different words in the Greek language for love. And unfortunately, in English, we only have one word for love, love. So I love my wife. I love, I better be careful now here because don't get me this, okay? French vanilla ice cream. French vanilla ice cream. Don't give me French vanilla ice cream. But I love French vanilla ice cream. I love my wife. And I love you. Love your wife the same as you love French vanilla ice cream? No. But that's the only word I have. Now, in Greek, there are four kinds of love. Four words. Agape, which is unconditional love that God has for us. It's I love you no matter what. It's an anyway love. It's an unconditional love. It's the love that God gives to us. And it's available for us. That's the source of agape love. Another word for love in Greek is eros. It's where we get our English word erotic. This is a sensual love, physical love. Dare I say sexual love. Then there's philia. This is where we get brotherly love. That's the city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, philia, philia. It's a love that we have for brothers, a brotherly love. Then there's storge. This is natural affection translated in some of your Bibles. It's the love that a parent has for a child and vice versa, that a child has for a parent. It's a parental love. It's a familial love. Storge, eros, philia, agape. But in English, we only have one. So the reason I point that out and emphasize it is because the love that John is writing about here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is agape love. And the source of agape love comes from God, who is love. That's the source of love. Can we talk just real quick about this word know, knowing? Born of God and know God. It's that Greek word again, ginosko. If you want to spell it phonetically, it's G-I-N-O-S-K-O, ginosko. It's an experiential knowledge, not an intuitive knowledge. It's a different Greek word. That's not what the word that John uses here. It's not an intuitive knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. That's the word he uses here. So in other words, let's put this together now. We experience this agape love from God, and that's the source of this love from God. And because we know God, born of God, and have the love from God, we can love one another with this love from God. That's the only way. In fact, I know I've shared this before. I won't take too long on this, but husbands, the only way you and I as husbands are going to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The only way we're going to love our wives is we love ourselves. This is Ephesians 5, by the way. I use this at weddings, which is why I never get asked to do weddings anymore. No, actually, that's not why. Three times. Chi times. Chi times. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. First time, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Second time, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. Third time, now we're getting really personal. Husbands, love yourself, love your wives as you love your own body. I have yet to meet a guy that wasn't in love with his body. Because you know how guys are, right? We walk by the storefront, checking ourselves out, sucking it in. You know, you take this. I got to update my illustrations, but back in the day, you'd have to get your pictures developed. You young people have no idea what this is. We had 1 hour was a long way. 1 hour photo. You take the negatives in. That's what they were, negative. And you take them in and you develop them out of a roll, out of a camera. That was actual camera. Never mind. And you wait an hour, you can't wait to open it up. You're flipping through. What are you looking through? You're looking for the pictures of you. Oh, there's a group picture. Who are you looking at in the picture? You! In fact, if it's not a good picture of you, that's not a good picture. So fast forward, you know, modern day, because I know that's archaic. And you take a picture on the phone, right? Now they have an app for that. They have a lot of apps for that. You can put hair where hair used to be. And anyway, so you take a picture on your phone, selfie, right? You look at it, you say, hey, take another one. Why? Because I don't look good in that one. Well, I do. Well, let's take another one. So you take it, 45 pictures later, you're looking at it, and you're going to pick out the one that you look the best in. You know, I look kind of fat in that one. It's not a good picture of me. Pastor, do you have a point? Yes, I have a point. Just give me a second. I'll figure it out. Try to remember what it was. This experiential knowledge of this agape love, by which the source from which I can love others as I already love myself and my own body. Where am I going to get that kind of love? Because my wife's right. I can't muster up that kind of love. That's got to come from somewhere other than me. That's the whole point. Husband, the only way you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her is by the agape love of God via the Holy Spirit in you. That's the only way. Don't even try. I'll save you the time. Try to love your wife in the energy of your own strength and flesh. You will make it so much worse. I learned the hard way. I got the scars to prove it. That's not love from God. That's a selfish love. That's not a selfless love. That's not agape love. Well, this now brings us to verses 9 and 10. So this is the source of God's love, this agape love. Now, how is God going to show us that love? He's going to show us how much he loves us by way of his only begotten son that he gave to us. Because no greater love hath any man that he would lay down his life for another. So that's how God shows us his love for us. He gave us his only begotten son. Now I know I've said this before, I'm working at trying to say it better again, but I really do love you. I really do. And I like you too. I do. But I don't love you that much. What do you mean? I don't love you so much that I'm willing to give up my first begotten son. I love you, but not that much. And here's the good news. I don't have to. He already did. Whew. Oh, that was close. But wait. God so loved me in the world so much that he gave me his only begotten son. That's love. And it's not just, you know, we say, honey, I love you. Show me. You can tell me you love me all day long. We don't even do that. Husbands, one last time and I'll stop making us feel like the dirt that we are. But you know, remember what it was when you're first courting? I know that's another word. Young people, just forget it. Courting. Remember when you were courting? Oh, you'd open the door for her. Oh, just even the way you would talk with her, just like butter melting off your lips. Oh, sweetie pie, or you know, whatever. I better be careful with the words because they've changed over the years. You know, some of them are not, I guess, kosher anymore. But, you know, you call her those sweetie names and, you know, open the door for her. And I love you. I love you too. I love you more. I love you more. This is going to stop. And then a few years go by. And you're not showing the love, and she's surely not feeling the love. Number one, you don't open the door for her anymore. You used to bring me flowers. You don't even, in fact, I'll never forget, true story, on the mainland, many years ago, car dealer friend, back in the car days. I'm having flashbacks, I understand. So I remember I said, Ron, you should buy her flowers. Just out of the blue, you should buy her flowers. He looks at me and he goes, I can't do that. I said, why not? He goes, if I showed up with flowers, she would think I did something really bad. It's like, wow, that's bad. That is bad in and of itself. In other words, you can't just get her flowers to just... If that's her love, my wife, it's flowers. Some wives, by the way, guys, you need that GPS. Buy her chocolates. No, for real. Some, I don't know, find out what it is. Come on, when you were courting, you wanted to know everything about her. And then now you do. And you're like, instead of opening the door, you're like, get in, we're running late. What's the matter with you? Wow. And by the way, while we're on the topic, when was the last time you said, I love you? No, but I mean, you really meant it, not just, love you too. Right? I mean, it's just become rote and, you know, stoic and, you know, robotic and expected. It means nothing. Love you, click. You know what it was like before? I don't want to hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No. Remember those days? Yeah. Yeah. Now it's, why'd you hang up on me? Anyway, enough of that. I'm speaking theoretically, hypothetically, of course. So God's showing us his love. How's he showing us his love? By giving us his only begotten son as the atoning, listen, atoning sacrifice to be the propitiation for our sins. What a big word. Makes you sound really intelligent, doesn't it? Try that on your friends. Jesus came to make propitiation for our sins. Whoa. You must have went to Bible seminary. The word propitiation is just meaning simply that it's been appeased, satisfied, paid for, atoned by Jesus for you instead of you because God loves you. And that's how he shows his love to you. Now, just because God shows us his love, I mean, this is not just a demonstration of love, so too is this the definition of love, because it's not that we loved God, but that he first loved us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that's love. Because listen, I love you and I'll do things for you because I love you, but there's a limit. But it works both ways. If I don't love you, forget about it. If I don't like you, like I'm going to do anything for you. No, while we were yet sinners, he loved us enough to have his only begotten son die for us while we were still sinners. That's love. I mean, I don't know how you show love any better than that. That is the demonstration, the definition, the explanation of the source of this agape love shown in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. God shows his love. Now the question is, do I see it? Or better asked, how do I see this love that he's shown me? And that's the dilemma that we have in verses 11 through 12. Stay with me on this. The seeing of this love. Now, we have a problem, okay? Because we know the source of love is the agape love from God. We know that God has shown us this agape love by giving us his only begotten son to die for us. But how are people going to see it? Because again, the showing of love is not synonymous with the seeing of love. And the problem is even further exacerbated because nobody has seen God, so how are they going to see this God who is love? Oh, that's where we come in. Watch this. Loving one another with the agape love of God the Father. How is it seen? In us. What do you mean? Well, since God so loved us and no one has ever seen God, they have seen us, God in us, so by extension, they see God's love made complete through us. So the dilemma is solved. How? Nobody's seen God, so how are they going to see the love from God? Well, they're going to see, nobody's seen God, but they see God in me, so that's how they're going to see God's love in me, made complete through me. Did I just put the pressure on us, back on us again? Good. This is why Jesus said, this is how they will know that you are my disciples. By your love one for another. That's going to be the distinction that's going to set you apart, make you peculiar. I know you're already peculiar. But you're going to be a peculiar people, something different about you, because that's not normal. I don't see that very often. I don't see someone that loving very often. Something's different about them. What's different about them? Oh, God is in them. That's what's different about them. Why are they so loving? Because God's love is made complete in them. That's why they're so loving. They must be a follower of Jesus. Got it. That's a good friend. That's the litmus test. Don't you wish it was something different than our love one for another? Because that convicts me right out of the chute. It should convict you too, because so don't look at me all spiritual. I want you to be conviction loves company. No, don't you wish it was something else? Not by our love one for another, they're going to know you're my disciples, but how worn out your Bible is. That's how they're going to know. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a JD, Jesus disciple. Do you see how worn my Bible is? That's how you know. No, that's not how you know. You can have a worn out Bible. You can have, speak with the tongues of angels. But if you have not love, it's a clanging cymbal. And here, I need to get this out of the way. They're not going to know you're a Christian because of what you have on the back of your car or your license plate frame. I'm sorry. Just so we're clear. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, they will know you're my disciples by what you have on your car when you cut people off in traffic, which is why I never have anything on my car. You know what my recurring nightmare is? I've shared this. It's been a while. I space them out. Remember? Long time. I haven't shared this. I'm going to share it with you. No extra charge on this one. My recurring nightmare, for real. I'm in traffic. I confess this. I am walking in victory, but I do struggle in traffic. Specific, you know, circumstances, might as well say by way of an example, there's two lanes and you're in the slow lane and somebody is reading the number on your safety check sticker. They're that close. I'm like, pass me. And they're tailgating you. So, should I stop with that? You already. So my sanctification flees from me. I was like, dude, stop tailgating me. Pass me. So you know what I do? Oh, boy. What I used to do. I would pull over in the other lane and slow down so they would pass, and they still wouldn't. So then I slowed down even more just so I could get parallel with them, because I want to just give them a look, like, just so they know that I know. The reverse of that is when somebody pulls out in front of you and cuts you off. And then they go slow. That's the unforgivable sin. That's the abomination that causes desolation. Now, I'm just getting real with you here. Just let me get this done. Put myself out of my misery. They cut you, they pull out in front of you on a two-lane, and then they slow. The speed limit 35. You know what they're doing? 20. And a 35. 20. I mean, really? So then it works that way. I go in the other lane. In Jesus' name. And I give him that look like, really? Do you know that you just cut me off? Do you know that you were going 50 miles an hour below the speed limit and slowed me down? Don't you know that I got to get to church?
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. It gets worse. No, I'm serious. This is a recurring nightmare. You love when you wake up and you realize, oh, thank you, Jesus. It didn't really happen. Because in the nightmare, I pass them and I let them know. And I give them a look. And then I speed off to church. And I pull in with my smile because I'm the pastor. I pulled into the parking spot, and sure enough, yeah, who pulls in next to me as I sheepishly get out of the car, and then they ask me, this is the nightmare still, they ask me, oh, you go to church here? I'm the pastor. I'm so sorry. It actually gets worse, but I'm going to spare you of my misery and suffering when I have these recurring nightmares. Again, you ask, what's your point? I have a point. The litmus test, the acid test, if you prefer. People are going to know when God shows his love, they're going to know his love when they see his love in us. Because they can't see him. No one has seen God. So how are they going to see God's love? In me, in you. It's going to be God's love in us made complete through us is how they're going to see God's love. We become the billboards. That's a terrible illustration in Hawaii where billboards are illegal. Would you find it interesting, by the way? One last thing on this. Can I? Might as well. You know, I haven't talked about it, but people are still putting up ABCs of Salvation billboards all over the world. I haven't talked about it for a while. There's a reason. I won't get into it. The guy who started it is with the Lord now. He's out of Florida. I did have the privilege of speaking with his widow, his wife, and left behind two daughters. But he's the one that started it. He had no idea. And you want, if this was a sermon on how God shows us that he has a sense of humor, this would be one of the ways. God chooses and uses a church on the island of Oahu where billboards are illegal. God's got a sense of humor. Oh, you can't put them up there. So we'll make up for it and put them all over the world. How's that? I don't know. That's just the way I think. Maybe it's just me, but I think that's God's way of saying, you know, I invented humor. Yeah, and laughter is medicinal too, by the way. It heals from the inside. Laughter. It's medicine. So I just want you to know that today's sermon was for your pancreas, your thyroid. Okay, I'm bringing it for a landing now, so. I don't think we can end the teaching or leave this God's church today without really letting it sink in that the only way people are going to see God's love is because they can't see God, is by seeing God's love in us. That's a game changer, isn't it? Does that change the complexion? So the next time you're, I forget traffic now, you're in line at the checkout and you're always in that line that's going slower because for whatever reason you're standing in the line where the checkout person is, I guess they're just not in a hurry. And then the person in front of you is trying to cash a check that is from Zimbabwe, so they have to call their... Are you kidding me right now? So what are you going to do? Well, okay, let's take one step further, then I will be done. How about, and I've shared this before, this is probably a better example. You know when you call customer service or customer support? And now, of course, it's all automated. Your approximate wait time, it's like that GPS. Your approximate wait time is 24 minutes. I'm like, well, you can opt for a call back, but I never do that because I'm thinking, yeah, right. Yeah, you won't lose your place in line. Yeah, right. So you're on hold. And you're fuming like, you know, when they pick up this call, I'm going to let them have it. Don't do that because you won't get any help. And by the way, what if this actually happened? I was so glad that my sanctification had not fled from me. I'm on hold. It was a long time. And finally, my call is taken. Sweet, precious lady on the other end of the phone says, hi, this is, you know, so-and-so, may I help you? And I started off with this. You'd be so proud of me. You'd be so proud of me. I started off like this. Man, I can't imagine how many irate customers you must deal with on a daily basis. I just want you to know I'm not going to be one of them. Mish. She's coming. What can I do for you? Let's go the other direction with that. Why is it taking so long to answer the phone? Yeah, how can I help you? See, this again is something I have to deal with the Lord because of the way my brain is wired, which is kind of scary. But, you know, I sometimes wonder if they're, you know, I picture these cubicles, all these people, customer service, and, you know, they're watching the hold and they go, they have bets on the side. They're not on a call. They're waiting to see if you're going to hang up the call. I got $20 on line three. Let's see. Okay, $20, line three, 30 minutes, go. I'm in. Is that bad? I probably shouldn't have taken it that far. I should probably end the sermon when it's over. I should stop preaching. But then I also now, having responded that way, man, I opened up a door. So then when I said to her, I just want you to know I'm going to pray for you. I can't even imagine what you have to deal with on a daily basis. I had one customer service representative start crying on the phone. One opened up to me and started sharing what was going on in her life. I'm like, man, these are real people dealing with real stuff. And I got a chance to share Jesus with her that I would have never had. The love of God. I could be the love of God. Show her God's love. It had to be God's love because there's no other way. Because I was a little impatient. You know, I got things to do. But you know what? Maybe this is what God wants me to do right now. Because she hasn't had someone say something like that to her in forever. And so she's really going through a difficult time. And I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those customers. Here's my issue. By the way, I'm going to pray for you. And you have a blessed day. Man, that's God's love. And they see it. They see it. That's the only way they're going to see it. God's love made complete through us, God's love seen in us. Would to God that we would be more loving. Make us more loving, Lord. Kapono, come on up. Why don't you stand up and pray? Lord, that is our prayer. It's not a title to a sermon or a question with a question mark on the end. It's a desire of our hearts that we would be more loving, especially one to another. We want to be more loving. We want to be more like you. And we know that love comes from you, and the only way anyone's going to see your love is in and through us. So, Lord, would you make us more loving? Would you make us more loving husbands to our wives? Would you make us more loving parents to our children? That we would not provoke them to anger as fathers? And how about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Lord, we're so unloving. Please, God, the cry of our heart is that we would love one another so deeply, so deeply. Especially those who might be here today that are just really hurting, that someone would just come alongside them and love on them. With your love. Thank you for loving us, Lord. You love us so much. Make us more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name.